If a critical mass of we the global people can appreciate soon enough that the world of class is a product of extreme manipulation, sanctified by ancient authority, bred in the mindset of abandonment, of a deep psychological need to feel important, seen, worshipped even. If we can see that, see that the horrific deeds are justly laid at the feet of the power guys, the statesmen, see that their vision of order, no change, has no place within it for an opposite vision, and is therefore totalitarian, whereas openness, freedom, means, as Kropotkin shows, each individual's continuous growth. If we can see that their misanthropy is at base supremely utilitarian, that Auschwitz and its work standard was not an aberration, but this mindset's logical destination. If we can see that their vision demands the elimination of what can't be used or commanded, and this is important for us to think about, those of us who want to be sanguine, who want to hope for the best, while we're sitting around wishing and hoping, power is systematically snipping away from life, from existence, what can't be used or commanded. Auschwitz is a perfect microcosm of power. It shows it all right there, which is what makes Miklos Niemcy's work so important. And then apply this seeing. If we could see all this, and then apply this seeing to the current world scene, what conclusion must we necessarily reach? If hierarchy is, for the statesman, their sine qua non, which it is by definition, if it is as consequence of being alive, our longing to ever strive toward greater access to the good stuff that we commonly provide, and that includes the good aesthetic stuff, the mental stuff, that we all of us provide commonly for each other. If this is the case, that we all of us strive, how can any be made to stay at the bottom? And remember, hierarchy is key to their reason to be. How can any be made to stay at the bottom except by means of extreme violence? And who in this global reality today suffer this fate, this designated place of degradation, and we will never see from which purse the killers are remunerated? Let's stop trying to investigate and start get busy creating the alternative that will then create hope for all of us of a different future, of an authentic future. So who suffer this fate? Africans, Asians, Arabs, Central and South Americans. Is it racist? In a Platonic sense, yes. It's about breeding and blood. In a Hegelian sense, yes. It's about so-called national character. But above all else, for power, it's about loyalty. What did we learn last week from Xenophon? Capturing authentically that conversation that Socrates had with one of the statesmen of his day? What is the most important thing to them? Loyalty. Loyalty is key in for them in those they train. It's about who can and cannot be trusted completely. It's about the knowledge of who has been under the gun, the heavy boot, the longest, and who therefore is most accustomed to it. This ain't about judging any peoples. It's the reality. It's simply stating that there are some of us who have not been subjected to the regime of class for thousands of years. Remember what we learned from John Trudell when he made that very important point that Native Americans here had to figure out. It's like, what is up with these folks? And what did he say? They got owned. Well, that's a new reality for many of our brothers and sisters globally. It depends on how close you were to that big Mediterranean bowl, where all the peoples of that world of class that developed 7,000 years ago were tied into, but some weren't. They can't be trusted. They have less experience with this mess. That's all it is. For me, it's not productive to use the word racist in that sense, and that's the only sense that people are familiar with today. So it's not a useful way to look at it from a practical point of view of getting our future